Huberto moving in, waiting. Huberto to the backhand. Hoobie doobie doo. We are tied at two. What a goal. Loose puck at center. Barkov looking to get a step on Mete. Barkov to the net. Barkov between the legs. Unbelievable. Did you just do that, Alexander Barkov? The Panthers are back on top.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Medford joined by Jacob Barker this week from Dauber Prospects. And basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using promo code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, and assist means so much more with a DraftKings daily fantasy lineup on the line. And baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with the free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Barker, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you, Justin?
Oh, well, I want to say good, but like, I don't know. Like, I didn't buy any battery for my car, so like, you know, and some other stuff going on. So I would say, like, doing okay, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, all things considered, it's great considering the ongoing global pandemic that we're in.
Yeah, like, it's, yeah, I guess, like, just kind of chilling. you know, still kind of moving stuff into the new place. We actually live together now, which is kind of fun.
All the viewers will be amped.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so much easier to get you on the pod now. Without a doubt, maybe we slowly phase out Noah. We'll see. Don't tell him.
Slow decline in Noah appearances before it's just the Justin and Jacob podcast.
Yeah, I know. I get a lot of like DMs and complaints about, you know, him because, you know, he's French and.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
yeah, we'll just slowly phase him out.
Yeah,
and then slowly phase in you and maybe Jared Shea.
Yeah, I assume Jared's hopping on at the end of this podcast too, right?
Yeah, he might hop on. We'll see. You know, guy's been dodging my texts, but we'll see where we get to. But, you know, if we don't, I mean, there's lots to talk about this week, as there is pretty much every week. But the main thing this week around the NHL, Tom Wilson incident. Curious to know your thoughts on the entire thing, both the actual incident from the game and then the NHL's punishment. And then the fun little twist at the end where we got that statement from the New York Rangers.
Yeah, well, that was a really entertaining series of events, I guess, over the like 24 hours that this all happened. Tom Wilson, like, the scrum was real. I only watched it a couple times, so I haven't like analyzed it super, super tough. But like, for me, guy's a repeat offender. It was an obvious cheap shot, like threw the guy down by his hair. And like, it was not a good look on Tom Wilson. And this guy's done it before numerous times. That's the part that was like the only dish out, like there's no suspension on that. And like, I just don't see how it's possible. Like, I know he got like the most, like the maximum allowable fine under the CBA, like the $5,000, but like, okay. Like there's $5,000 out of his pocket that he'll gladly pay. And then like,
yeah.
There's nothing. Like, he's in the lineup tonight against the Rangers again.
Like, which is going to be a gong show.
That is going to be disastrous. The Caps tweet that night was definitely choosing violence.
not great.
That was a violent tweet going back. I was like, oh wow, that took some balls to tweet that one. I was like, okay, that started something.
Yeah, I was like, then, that's one way to go about it.
Yeah, like, and then what else do they do? They and then the Rangers statement just going right for George Karros, like directly at him. So Tom, in conclusion, Tom Wilson is now starting like an internal war in the NHL where like everyone's turning on each other. So we'll see what happens in the next like 24 to 48 hours. I doubt anything happens with George Karros, but
yeah, you doubt it because it's the NHL.
Yeah,
like here's the thing, like with the Rangers, like I care like almost not, like I don't care about the Rangers at all. But for the most part this year, like they haven't been like super good on the ice, but they've been very entertaining off of it, like lots of stuff going on, so credit to them. The whole incident, like you said, like, and you know, a lot of people were pointing out like, oh, like what about this scrum, or like there was last night, there was, you know, Crosby wrestling with Konechny, and it's like, okay, like I don't love that either, like like I don't think that's a great play either, like you should, there should be something there too, like, but with Tom Wilson, like that guy doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt at all.
No, not at all. Right. Not at this point after everything he's been doing.
Yeah, and it's like it's not a hockey play at all, right? Like, and you know, like people are like, oh, you know, they took, you know, a jab, you know, when the puck was covered, and it's like that happens literally every time the puck is covered, and you. You know, guys don't get ragdolled around and get punched while they're on the ground every time. Like,
yeah, usually it doesn't result in a suspendable offense every single time. It usually just results in a couple pushes and it's done.
Yeah. And it was also interesting to see a lot of like former NHL enforcers coming out and saying like, yeah, this is over the line. Like, it's like, yeah. If guys like Sean Avery and John Scott are saying, you crossed a line here, like that's not a great sign.
Like Sean Avery is saying that. Like, I know Avery's got the Rangers bias, obviously, but still, like, there's no way that if a guy like Sean Avery, who's notorious for his dirty play in the NHL, like comes out and says, nah, it's too much. Like, that's when you know that a $5,000 fine is probably not gonna cut it for that play.
Yeah, like, and the thing for me too is like, because Tom Wilson has been suspended a bunch, and you know, for obvious reasons, but like there's certain plays where it's like it's just dirty, it's an intent to injure, and then there's certain plays where it's like, it's hockey's a fast game, sometimes you arrive a little late or a guy kind of adjusts right as you're coming in and you catch him too high. Like there are plays like that where you're not trying to hurt a guy, but you just catch him the wrong way, and you know, it's still a dirty play, you still get suspended for it. But the intent's not there. But like a play like last night, like that is just intent to injure a guy.
Exactly, right? Like there was like, what else was he doing there? Except, like he was not like trying to defend his goalie. It wasn't like get out of his crease. It was no, I'm going to throw you down to the ground and try to injure you. Like,
yeah, and pull you down with hair, like against a guy you probably have, you know, 100 pounds on.
Mm-hmm.
Like just ridiculous. So I was shocked that it was only a fine.
Him flexing in the penalty box too.
Bad look.
That was a really bad look for them. Shows that he's just like, he just doesn't care what anyone thinks. Like it's quite evident there, but bad look for sure.
Yeah, that's a bad look for him. And then the fine was just a bad look for the Department of Player Safety.
Yeah. Remember when I hate using Maple Leafs logic again, like against other teams, because I hate the Maple Leafs. But remember when Nazem Kadri got suspended for an entire playoff series for cross-checking a guy?
Yeah.
And then Tom Wilson gets a fine for this? Like, that's insane. Like, Kadri's cross-check, yeah, probably deserved a suspension. But if that deserves a suspension, then Wilson's has got to be at least at an equal.
Yeah, like he was already suspended 7 games this season for not a great play on Brandon Carlo. Oh, like it just, like, what are you doing? Like, and clearly, like, you see him like flexing in the penalty box. Like, that is clearly a guy who has not shown any remorse or learned anything from any of the suspensions and any of the plays.
No, he does not care.
No, so I was shocked that there wasn't some serious punishment. But then I absolutely loved the Rangers statement.
Oh, what a great statement out there, though.
Yeah.
Coming like, right, just not taking any of it, not having it at all.
Yeah, like you don't see that a lot with the teams and their social media accounts. And the Rangers basically just said, like, oh, fuck it. We'll take the fine. We're going for it.
And well, you think about, like, what if you're playing for the organization, like a guy like Panarin, who's now done for the season. I guess there's 4 games left, but, like, still, like, he misses out on the final few games of the season because of it. Like, that's a good – like, I'm feeling good about the organization I play for at that point when you're like, okay, they literally are like, no, we're standing up for our players. Like, that's not an acceptable response for us. Like, that's always nice to see.
Yeah, and the call for George Parro's resignation by name, like, that's – no, I love it.
I think it's jokes. I think they are – doing a they really stood up for what they believed in that case and what a lot of hockey fans are looking for right now, and we'll see if the NHL does anything or if they just kind of, I get a feeling they're just going to kind of let this just go through and just kind of play out, and then they won't do anything. Tonight's game will be a disaster, and then we'll have some
I feel so bad for the officials tonight.
It's going to be bad. They're going to have, the linesmen are going to get their, gonna have their work cut out for them trying to break up stuff in front of the net. They're gonna watch them like early on in the game. I know their job is to like skate pretty quickly into the crease. They're going to be flying into the crease tonight, both linesmen.
At least like 10 kilometers skated tonight.
Yeah, they're gonna be, I know you're tracking. If you're tracking that game, can you track the linesmen skating?
No, but I'll just watch it. Rough estimate it, but yeah, like my guess is that they're just gonna be like on top of it right from the start.
Who do you think is gonna fight Tom Wilson tonight? Because at least one Ranger will do it.
Okay, so let me check the lineup because there's a couple guys I'm thinking of. Like, it depends on who they play. I would love it to be like Ryan Strome because he was very vocal in his media availability. But I just don't know if Ryan Strome, you shouldn't do it. Like.
No,
it's a bad idea.
Oh, you know what to do? You assert yourself, put yourself right in every veteran's good book, Vitali Kravtsov.
He's got some good eyes too.
No, I'm just playing. That would be bad. But
well, it wouldn't be great for, like, okay, realistically, like, I'm looking at the lineup, right? And like, there's, we should make our picks now of who goes after Tom Wilson. Oh, an ad's playing. Hold on. I pulled up the lines on my phone. So realistically, like, your 3 big candidates, maybe 4, probably Brendan Smith, Kevin Rooney, Julian Gauthier, Colin Blackwell, and then, like, maybe if a kid gets involved, it's probably Condre Miller, right?
Yeah.
Big, strong kid.
You think someone of the leadership staff goes at, like a Jacob Trouba?
He's out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Of course, yeah. Troops was there. I would have given my pick.
Yeah, Brendan Smith would make sense.
Is that who you're going with?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Brendan Smith.
Okay, I'm going to go off the board here. All right, and this might be a spicy one, but I'm going to say he takes a shot in the chops from Alexander Georgiev.
Oh.
He goes blocker to the face.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gorgiev could too. Eh?
Yeah, man, I like it. Fellow Russian, right? But then the issue is that Gorgiev's not a big guy by any means. So it's
I can see in turn Tom Wilson jumping Gorgiev, and then it turning into like an absolutely massive deal. Like we'd have a line brawl at that point.
Yeah, because then immediately the D's coming in, right? And then, but. Yeah, it's going to be nuts. I think, for the officials, like, they got to be on top of it, like, right out of the gate. They can't let anything happen.
Mm-hmm. No, this will be a dangerous one tonight for a lot of players. This is where you really see if Alexi Lafreniere is NHL ready. Can he handle the physicality of a rivalry game?
Well, it's like, man, like, does it, like, does he enter the Calder conversation?
If he scraps Tom Wilson within the first 5 minutes, does he re-enter the Calder conversation?
Like, does it come down to like Kim Kirill and like Jason Robertson? Like, is that?
Does he automatically pass Tim Stützle for the Calder if he goes and fights Tom Wilson within the first 5 minutes of the game?
Like, you have to ask the question.
If this was 2004, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Today, I think, you know, I think I might bump him up a slot, you know.
No, this is 2004. Tim Stutz is not getting taken in the first three rounds of the draft. So he wouldn't even be over here.
Yeah, and everyone would be defending Tom Wilson. And
yeah. Oh, there's a decent amount of people still defending Tom Wilson. Capitals Twitter is really having a tough look right now.
Yeah, it's really fun, though, because, like, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the NHL where, you know, people seem to agree and there's a lot of bitterness between fan bases. But it's nice to see that pretty much every fan base is just gone after the Capitals and Tom Wilson. Like, that's nice.
It's great to see, you know, like, you always like to have a little unity throughout the team, right? Like, whatever you can do.
Yeah. And it just seems like anytime, like, something like this happens, it's always Tom Wilson that's doing it.
Oh, yeah, like, it's stupid, but yeah, you know, that's the kind of guy he is. And that's, yeah, no, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of that at all.
No, like, why? Like, just be good at hockey without doing that shit.
You can be a power forward and not fight every single person on the ice illegally.
Yeah.
You can't.
Like, I get, like, you want to, like, you know, you want to get close to that line without crossing it. But he just seems to always cross. Like, what are you doing?
Always crossing it. Like, so stupid, but whatever.
We'll see what happens. And now let's get to some good old Panthers talk here. Big win the other day over Dallas. Sam Bennett out day-to-day. That's a big loss. Because he has just been buzzing since he got to Florida. But I don't know if you saw the game or not.
I saw the highlights afterwards. It was a solid game, entertaining for sure. Like, the blow, like, going into the third up two is not fantastic to have to go to overtime. Like, that little spurt at the beginning of the third.
Yeah.
Didn't help in that case. But, you know, like, when you're going up against Joel Kiviranta, like,
absolute horse out there, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen, right? And then my boy Barkov finishes it off in OT. Huberto on my fantasy team, so I was hoping it would be him. But, you know, when Barkov's out there doing his thing, finishing it off for the boys, you know, like, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the only Panthers – I had Huberto on my fantasy team. I traded him. The only Panthers player I have is Mackenzie Weegar.
Oh, and he got an apple too, I believe.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, he had a good game, and, you know, he's been unbelievable with Ekblad out, right? Like, he's just been fantastic. Mm-hmm. But he did score an own goal, which isn't great, you know, where he kind of just whips it by Spencer Knight, who remains undefeated in the NHL. 4 wins. Guy doesn't lose. So, like, overall, like, it was a fine game from the Panthers. Like, have they played better? Probably. Have they played worse? Maybe. I don't, like, and with Sam Bennett out, like, he's just kind of transformed the team. But the one guy for me that I really loved watching out there was Grigory Denisenko, who it's only his sixth NHL game. He's got 4 apples. So early indications are he's a disher.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, guy's been solid. Like, this is his first year as a North American pro, like, after coming over from the K. I had never been, like, crazy high on him before. Like, he had always been, like, pretty good, but, you know, like, I always wondered how much he could contribute in the NHL. But then he came over, has been really good in the AHL so far with Syracuse, and I was like, hey, it's solid, like, producing both ends. And then he came up with Florida and it's been legit. Like, give him the right opportunities, this guy can dish it. This guy can play in transition. Like, he fits the Florida system well. So I'm hoping that he can continue going, especially with the playoffs right around the corner. If he can have a nice big impact in his rookie season, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, like, he's one of those guys where it's like, you kind of watch him and it's like, he's got good skill, but he's like an okay skater and he's like relatively small. Like I think he's like 5'11", 170, right? Not the biggest guy out there, right? Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, it's kind of hard too because Russian players and you don't see them a whole lot really. Mm-hmm. And then when you do, it's kind of hard to gauge what their, you know, potential might be. Yeah. The one thing that's really impressed me with him was he's been relatively physical too in the recent games. Like he's throwing the body around, which you love to see from not the biggest guy out there. And I think the well-roundedness really just fits the Panthers system because that pretty much is what most of their players are.
Yeah, like there's no – like you guys have a really deep team in terms of just the system of play. Like obviously like guys like Huberto and Barkov will steal a little bit of the spotlight because they're the best players. So they're able to kind of excel in the system a little bit better than others will. But in terms of just overall throughout the lineup, like you got tons of guys that can skate. Yeah, tons of guys that are able to make the plays and transition both offense and defensively. And like guys like Denisenko, like you do love to see a little bit of the body as well. I think the NHL, like we always say, like, oh, like the NHL isn't as physical as it was like 10, 20 years ago and stuff, which is true, but there is still a very like physical element to the game in the NHL that people still don't quite recognize. Like you watch guys that are like fresh into the NHL come in, like you watch Tim Stützle and you're like this, like he's a good player, you see the signs, but you can tell that he is just like physically not at the level that is required of the NHL. Like when you like people using the body, knocking them off the puck all the time, just plays like finishing plays off on the boards, like getting run, it's not as dirty, but there's still a very physical element of the game that people definitely underestimate. So being able, like a guy like Denisenko, to being able to do it is really impressive at this age.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like I think, yeah, like because you don't see the same kind of like big like open ice hits, so people are like, oh, it's less physical, but like board battles, leaning on guys, like that stuff wears players down, and that's like what a lot of young players struggle with coming into the league. Like that's one of the big difference makers, probably that and the pace of play are the two biggest, you know, hurdles for young players. I like what I've seen from Denisenko so far. And just playing, like, the Panthers systems are so strong right now where it just seems like it doesn't matter who's out there or where you're playing or what your lines are. Like, you're going to get similar results. Like, obviously, your top guys like Barkov and Huberto are going to put up, you know, the numbers they're putting up because they're just that good. But there's a reason you get good performances from a lot of guys who, you know, don't have a history of being those types of players. Like Alex Wenberg's been very, very good this year, and slotting him in on the third line now I think is more suited to his abilities. The young guys like Denisenko and Tippett have come in and been very, very good for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked to, like, I was talking though, like early in the year, like, cause we were, you know, Panthers, they got off to a great start, right? And they looked really good at the start of the year, and they've just gotten so much better and so much deeper as the years like has gone on. And which has been a ton of fun, and especially with the loss of Aaron Ekblad, like they lost their number one defenseman and didn't slide in the standings at all. Mm-hmm. And there are not a lot of teams where that would be the case.
No, not at all. Right. Like, it's tough losing that staple, especially like you look through the lineup and you're like, all right, who's stepping up? And you're looking like Brandon Montour is taking a big step. Mackenzie Weegar is taking a big step to fill the role. Like, it's been fantastic to look at.
Yeah, like you look at the defense and it's a lot of guys where it's like they're really just good skaters, like honestly. Like that is the main calling card. Like Gustav Forsling's had a hell of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy who kind of just came out of nowhere. They got him off waivers, like free.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Which is just a great price. Yeah, he's fantastic. I pick him up in fantasy all the time because he just rips.
Oh, he's love to see his point contribution coming in. 3 points in his last two games. Is he in the Norris conversation? Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if you saw, and you probably didn't because, like, why would you? But they had a press conference. We talked about it last week. They had a press conference with Barkov, and they asked him about, you know, the strong play of Gustav Forsling. And he said, around here, we call him Bobby Orsling.
That is perfect.
Which is just, so fitting because they're basically the same player.
They are, yeah, essentially. Same offensive capabilities.
Yeah, same. I think Gustav's maybe a little more sound in his own zone.
Yeah, if you're going to compare it. Bobby Orr leads him in highlight goals per 60. So.
Well, yeah, and like, but here's the thing, though, is like, you know how sometimes, and I know you've seen this, like sometimes Leafs fans will like to pick and choose like stats. They'd be like, oh, if you take out these 10 games of Austin Matthews, he's a point per game. Right? And if you just look at the last three games of the last two games of Gustav Forsling's career, it's a better point per game average than Bobby Orr's career.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like, I don't know if there's much else that you can really ask for out of a defenseman, right? Like, guy has been averaging over 20 minutes in the last two games. Like, that's a Norris candidate, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more impressive than anything Bobby Orr has ever done in his career?
Yeah, probably.
He's on pace for like 1.5 points per game.
Yeah, 1.5 points per game.
What is that, like 90 points in a 56 game season?
Yeah, unreal.
Yeah, that's
best defenseman in the league. If you just look at that small sample size and project it outwards over the course of a longer period, absolutely.
Yeah, like you look at what Matthews has done, and if you take out 10 full games of, so like 20% of the season this year, roughly, if you take out 20% of the season, he is better than Wayne Gretzky ever, like all the time.
Yeah, like just what a ridiculous article. Like what a ridiculous concept. Let's just take out part of the season and only focus on this part.
Man, like that, like I swear, like I, first of all, the ratio is hilarious. It was like 60 likes and like 600 comments and like another like hundreds of quote tweets, like just fantastic. You'll love to see it. But man, like it, I don't know if like there's any sort of like validation. Like people, like I don't think anyone agreed with that. Like some people were like, oh, like Matthews has been fantastic though. It's like, that's like the point of the article is that he's fantastic. It's like, well,
we know that.
Like, yeah, it's like that's not new. Like obviously Austin Matthews is a great hockey player.
Yeah,
but like trying to say that his like season this year is like somehow more impressive than Gretzky's 93 goal season. And like it's ridiculous.
It's like, yeah, like it's just not true.
And it's like a bad argument for it. Like if you like were to make a normal argument, like it wouldn't work, but like this has like absolutely no backing. It's like I'm literally cherry picking stats. And yeah, they're trying to argue how McDavid, like Matthews deserves the heart over McDavid at this point.
No, no shot.
Even though isn't McDavid like mad close to it? I didn't see McDavid has absolutely rinsed him in points this year, but he said goals are more. Austin Matthews has 4 more goals than McDavid, and those are apparently more valuable than McDavid's 20 more assists than Matthews.
Well, that's what like I remember because earlier in the year when it was maybe a little bit closer in that, because right now McDavid's running away with it, right? Like
yeah,
in my mind, like he should be unanimously the Hart Trophy winner.
At this point. Yeah.
Right when he's 20 points clear of the next guy, and the next guy's his teammate, who is then 10 points clear of someone. Like it's ridiculous what he's doing. But when it was closer in the year, I remember I think it was Elliot Friedman. He was saying, you know, it comes down to, does the gap McDavid have over Matthews in points, is it more than the gap Matthews has over McDavid in goals?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even close right now.
Yeah. And yeah, so Matthews has 63 points in 48 games. 39 of those are goals. That's crazy impressive. Don't get me wrong. Crazy impressive. McDavid has 93 points. So 30 more points than him in 51 games. So in 3 more games, he has 30 more points. And like, yeah, and it's still 31 goals. Like he's got 8 less goals, but almost 40 more assists, 38 more assists. Like
it's ridiculous.
And then the argument was, it was like, oh, but like McDavid produced like half of his, or like McDavid produced like a ton of his offense against Ottawa.
So did Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews literally had more points against Ottawa than McDavid did. Like you can't cherry pick these stats everywhere across. Like, yeah, no, that's a joke. That was a complete joke.
You know what I also find interesting is that a lot of people like they make the argument like, oh, he's playing against the North. It's a weak division, right? Like, look at Ottawa. Mm. And it's like I've seen a lot of that argument of like they're just like abusing the Senators basically. And in a normal year, they would not be even close to what they're doing right now. And I've seen a lot of that. And it's like a lot of divisions have teams that are worse than Ottawa, like projected to be worse.
Oh, yeah. And Ottawa had a really, really bad like first 14 games of the season. But since then, they are a mid-table team. They have been 500. They are not getting blown out by anyone. It is like even games, normal hockey. They're just like another team. They're not. You can make like a very reasonable case that like if, again, I'm cherry picking stats.
After ripping on cherry.
No, but like after stats. once the roster actually turned over, like what, because at the beginning of the year they had like all their old guys that they were trying to flip for trade for pieces at the deadline. Once the roster actually flipped to like what they should have, like that's a team that's like at the same level as like the Flames, the Canucks, like the
not like the highest bar, to be honest, but like still,
yeah, like
they're better than people are giving them credit for.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is not a bottom feeder team. This is not a team where, like, you go in and you beat them by five and everyone gets, like, massive point totals. Like, this is just, like, it's another team. And, like, it's just another team in the NHL that people can play. So I don't think the argument is, like, incredibly fair. Oh, yeah, here it is. I've got it here. The case for Matthews for Hart. Number one, goals over assists.
No.
But isn't the point of the Hart is like most valuable player?
Yes.
Right? So like
that really would be matter? The definition.
So isn't like, does it really matter if you're like scoring or assisting? Like you're still contributing to goals, right? Like
I think like maybe if like the argument was if you took away McDavid's like secondary assists.
Sure.
I'm sure he would still have more
assists
than Matthews.
Objectively better at defense.
McDavid's been a lot better defensively this year.
I don't objectively better at defense is one of the main points this guy is making for the Hart Trophy.
And that's just like a vague, like art, like that's nothing.
That's a really, really vague.
And if defense is your main factor, like congratulations, the Hart's going to Alexander Barkov. Like
exactly.
Like if that's your argument.
If all of a sudden objectively better at defense. Okay, Chris Tierney's now in the Hart Trophy
category. Yeah, like congratulations. Like,
yeah, 63% goals for compared to McDavid's 59. So a 4% difference in the goals for is apparently enough. Plus 21 at 5-on-5. Oh, plus minus is a thing, apparently. Plus one, plus minus, compared to McDavid's plus 16. So a 5 plus minus difference. Like, these are not blowouts. These are like close percentages that. Like, yeah, it's very cherry-picky. 60% expected goals for compared to McDavid's 56%.
Great. I mean, like, okay.
Okay.
Like, here's the thing. Like, expected goals is, like, something a lot of people use, and it's, like, I don't know. Like, like you expect to score this much, but you score this much. It's not who had the potential to be the most valuable player. It's who was.
Yeah, like
so it's not who is your expected MVP, it's who was your MVP.
I understand like the art, like I get expected goals for like a good like overarching like advanced stat to kind of show like okay, like this player is generating something. Like
yeah,
it has some value to it, but at the end of the day,
there's a lot of value in it.
At the end of the day, like hockey is a game with a certain amount of randomness to it. Like it actually has like a pretty significant amount of randomness to it.
Well, that's why it's like so tough to bet on.
Yeah, like it's the most competitive balanced league, like professional league in the Big Four, like in North America. Like in basketball, like you always get like when the Lakers are playing
super team.
Anyone, like they're always the favorites. Like it's so competitively balanced, like, and it's because of the randomness aspect of it, like the amount of players cycling through. Like at the end of the day, like a 60% expected goals for compared to a 56 expected goals for is not going to sway the ballot away from McDavid to Matthews. Like,
no,
I genuinely don't care. McDavid put up way more points and contributed just way more to his team. Like, I don't care that Matthews was expected to score more than like, that doesn't mean anything. Oh, and the final argument is 35 goals in 36 games where he can shoot the puck.
Yeah, which again,
that's so, if Tim Stützle would, if you take out every single game that Tim Stützle didn't score in,
goal per game,
Tim Stützle is a goal per game player. And like at that point, is it more impressive than Wayne Gretzky's entire career? Like, I think so. At that,
if we're gonna cherry pick stats, I think you're absolutely right. Like, it is more impressive.
McDavid's only like, what is it? He is. Wait, I can pull it up here. McDavid's 7 points away from an 100-point season, and he's got 4 games left.
You think he does it?
I would assume so. 7 points in four?
Well, because here's the thing, because he had, I think, 22 points in 7 games. And one of them he was held pointless in. And then he had a big night. He's had two pretty good nights against the Canucks, where he's been – basically, in the last, like, 10 games, he's been, like, a point-per-period player.
That is ridiculous when you think about it. Yeah. I was looking for the stat. Also, I think we're – I know we're really just destroying the Leafs right now, but just to add fuel to the flame here, I'd just like to point out that Connor Brown has the same amount of shorthanded goals over the past 24 games as the Maple Leafs do as a team on their power play. It's just a fun little stat that we have there.
Yeah, no, I think for Leafs, he's probably the one that got away.
Oh, yeah, Connor Brown is just too good, you know.
Crazy how much better former Leafs do when they go somewhere else.
They, oh, this is it. Yeah. Because one guy was like, okay, like, if we're going to cherry-pick games for Matthews, let's cherry-pick games for McDavid. And it's like, okay, like, what's the most impressive stat we can come up with if we just write off 10 games this year? And someone said, it's like, he had 11 pointless games this year. If you take out all but one, he has 87 points in 39 games. So that's a pace of 61 goals and 183 points at a plus 71 over an 82-game season.
Yeah, that's not bad.
If we're cherry-picking stats, I like that one. To cherry, yeah. If we're gonna do it, I still like that one.
Yeah, like it just—it's bad argument. Like it's just,
but when you get like 600 plus comments, you know it's a bad argument.
Yeah, you know, you might not have made the point you were trying to make at that at that stage.
That's unlike, he was fending for his life in the Twitter mentions, so like he had his work cut out for him.
Well, it's so weird because like, it seems like there's such a beef between like Oilers and Leafs Twitter, and it's just kind of like, why? Like,
you're just the two best teams, you know. Like, it's naturally gonna happen.
Well, not even. I'd argue that the best team is probably Florida, right?
Well, of course, you know. Like, yeah, I was like talking. Canadian teams, you know. Okay, like, it's all a contest to play Florida.
Yeah.
What's the draw for the playoff? Like, who are the North projected to go up against?
So, I haven't looked totally at the standings. I was going to do an episode later with Noah and maybe you if you were going to hop on. Like, breaking down the playoff matchups. But there's a couple that are still kind of in question. Because the North, it's because Winnipeg has sucked, basically, the last, like, 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
They were projected to play Edmonton. But if they fall below, then it'll be Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, Winnipeg.
Mm.
But right now it's looking like, yeah, that one could go either way. And then for us, for the Panthers, it's looking like
Tampa.
It's going to be Tampa. So I'm curious though, cause I talked about Noah, but how do you think these two teams match up?
I don't love it for Florida's sake. Hey, just stay in the state, you know, it's nice to get the home crowd going from both sides. What's their record like throughout the year? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of the head, but Tampa has won more, but the Panthers have won a couple.
I'll look it up real quick. Oh, we play Tampa on Saturday. That should be a good one. That'll pretty much decide home ice or get close to deciding home ice.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's not bad. Looking through. I don't know if I can find exact. Yeah, I can't. I'm just on the NHL.com website, so I don't think I can get the exact ones, but they let me see what we got. Yeah, win, loss, win. 2-1 there.
Yeah.
2-2.
Like, they're losses, but I think they're close.
You're 3-3 so far this year against them. So the matchup's actually okay.
Right. Here's the thing, though, because Tampa's going to get Kucherov and Stamkos back.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida has Sam Bennett. And playoff Bennett, as we know, is being
Florida also has a very hot rookie goalie right now.
Yeah, so because Noah and I've talked about this, and we talked a lot about the Panthers goaltending as being like a question mark for the playoffs, but not really too much of a concern because they have, Spencer Knight's been really good, Chris Drieger's been really good, and Bobrovsky's been like better than last year and pretty solid for the most part. So like, we weren't like concerned about it, but it was kind of like, who's it going to be? And we'd, thrown out the idea of Spencer Knight starting in the playoffs. Only because when he signed his ELC, he has the $1 million performance bonus in there if he wins the Conn Smythe this year, which is an absurd bonus to put in there. And we're like, why would they do that? But then a couple days ago, Joel Quenneville asked if Spencer Knight would be the starting goaltender when the playoffs begin. And he said, basically, we'll see. We've got to sort things out, but he's been appreciated as far as what he's contributed in a short amount of time. Do you think we see Spencer Knight in the playoffs?
I mean, we got a couple games left this season. We'll see what he gets in terms of looks for those ones. As of now, he's 4-0. So
hard to argue against that. Like, obviously, yeah. Like, he's allowed a decent amount of goals in a couple of them, but hey, 4-0.
You ride the guy, and like from what I would think, like, you ride him in there, you've got two very good backup options if he starts to fumble that you can rely on a little bit later. So like, my thing is like, yeah, why not? Like, screw it. Like, go for it. Let him start. If he keeps going, then go for it. Like, keep up the momentum. And if he fumbles a little bit, you go to Bob next, probably. I'd go to the guy that I'm paying $10 million a year first. And then after that, you got Drieger. And then if all three fail, then all three fail. But like, there's nothing you can do at that point.
If all three fail, like, I mean, Roberto Luongo's in the goaltending department.
He's on the payroll still.
He's on the payroll
for recapture right now.
But so. I don't see all three guys failing. It's just, which guy do they go to first, basically, right? And then you kind of just stick with him until he gives you a reason not to.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a case for all three guys. Like, who's been the best goalie this year? It's been Drieger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who has the most playoff experience? Bobrovsky. And who swept Tampa Bay 2 years ago when he was in Columbus? Bobrovsky. And then you have Spencer Knight, who is your all-time leader in win percentage of the franchise.
Yes. He's so, also riding the hot hand.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're riding the hot hand there. And like, I've been listening to a lot of his interviews and going over articles and stuff. And he's a great goalie, right? And no one I've watched him live, like, really impressive goalie. His footwork's exceptional, good size, great athlete. But the one thing that's always like highlighted is his mental approach to the game. Like, he's very calm, very laid back, doesn't get nervous at all. He's got a smile on his face when he's out there, right? He just seems like he's enjoying the moment. Doesn't really faze him, right? At the end of the day, he said, like, I know I'm not only a hockey player, I'm a person. We lose. Like, I want to win, but if we don't, I'm not going to like hammer myself too much for it. So that mental component too, like, in the playoffs, right, it can be tough on goalies, right? So knowing that he's very strong mentally could be another case you can make for him that, he'll be solid back there. You don't have to worry about that. Like, at least it's not a strike against him, because that can be the case with a lot of young goalies, because it's hard.
And you exactly, don't
see many 20-year-olds in the league. Yeah. And that's one of the big reasons.
Yeah, I mean, you see this ups and downs it goes through, and like, you've seen it in the major tournaments, like the U20s. Like, you look at him there, and he'll have a tough game, and then the questions start to be asked, and then he comes back and he has a good one next time. Like, and I'm never worried about his bounce back ability compared to other goalies. The other thing, like with Bobrovsky too, like you look at him and you know that he is like, he's been streaky, but this is also the guy that has the biggest playoff resume, like you said, and the biggest like big game potential in my mind. Like, this guy is very much capable of backstopping like a 45 save performance. He's done it numerous times before. Like, this guy has like big boom potential as well, and he has the experience that backs it up. So like, if they go to him game one and say like, screw it, we're paying you $10 million a year, and like, this is your moment, like go backstop us in some playoff games, I wouldn't be mad about it. I think it's a decent move too. And then there's Drieger too, who's been really, really good and is a UFA this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's Noah and I are very sad about it.
Because I doubt he sticks around, right?
No, and then, yeah, it's tricky. But he's been very, very good this year and good teammate. So that's gonna be a tough loss. But, yeah, like I said, like, he's probably been their best goalie this year. Like, he's been better than Bobrovsky. And that's not to say Bobrovsky's been particularly bad. Drieger's just been excellent. And Spencer Knight, you know, the sample size is small, but he's also been very, very good. Like, I don't think any guy's given you a reason to like definitively say they shouldn't be the starter. Like, I think all three of them have made a case that you could start them in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so it's which way you go. I don't know. I think if you were making the call game one, Tampa Bay, who do you put in net?
Assuming we stay on the same course here with Knight, I'm going to go with Spencer Knight game one with Bobrovsky on the bench and Drieger watching. But if Knight fumbles, like, I'd probably give him game one. If he fumbles bad, then it's playoffs, and this happens all the time. He goes back down to the press box and then give Bobrovsky, like, I give Bob the next look. You give him the starter look and then put Drieger behind him. Like, if Knight's not, like, to me, if Knight's not starting, Knight's not on the bench. Like, Knight, he'd be in the press box.
Yeah. The thing for me is, like, I think Chris Drieger's been a little nicked up here lately, right? And I'm not sure I'm not convinced that he would be 100% for the playoffs, right? Like, I think he would play, like, I think he'd be able to play if you needed him to play. But because he's nicked up, like, I think if he was healthy, he would be my pick, no question. Mm-hmm. But because he's not 100% healthy, I don't know that I'd go with him. And I think I'd go with Spencer Knight too. Just because, you know, Tampa Bay is a great team. They got a lot of firepower, and they're pretty good at generating chances off the rush. And I think that's one of the real strengths of Spencer Knight. And they're really good at getting, like, secondary chances, right? Like, you know, they'll get the shot, and then if the rebound's there, someone's going to be there to try and cash in on it. And I, you know, as good as Bobrovsky's been, you know, sometimes the recovery and the rebound control, it can be a little, I don't know what the word is, but it's not, I think Spencer Knight's better in that area right now. And so I think I'm going Spencer Knight. Like, it's obviously a gamble with a young player.
Yeah.
To start him 20 years old, like, I wouldn't want to do that. No way. Too nervous. But, like, it's – and I think he can handle it. And I think Coach Q has shown this year, like, he's not afraid to play his young guys. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you can get the job done, he's going to play you. He doesn't care. Right? Like, we've seen that with Haponiemi, Denisenko, Tippett, you know, guys on the back end. If you can play, you'll play, right, basically. And so – I expect it probably is Bobrovsky that goes in game one, but boy, would I love for it to be Spencer Knight.
It'd be fun. Either way, it'll be fun.
Yeah. Great guy. We'll have to wait and see, really. But it's going to be fun. I can't wait for this battle of Florida because I think, you know, this rivalry needs a little juice here, and nothing better than a playoff matchup to get things going. Last thing here, as per your appearance fee on the show, we've dedicated 5 minutes of Senators talk. So I'll pull up the timer. We'll get that going for all our listeners. If you don't care at all about the Senators, and you probably don't, you can shut the episode off now. We're done for the day on Panthers talk. And the Senators segment begins right now. So, Jacob, tell us about the team.
Oh, it's such a good squad, you know. Like, we're just fantastic. I definitely don't have any bias towards this team. No, let me say, shout out to you guys for getting rid of Eric Goodbranson. I will say that.
That you liking him up there?
Oh, boy, did I ever hate Eric Goodbranson on the team. He got the assistant captaincy right off the bat. And I was like, okay, this guy's probably great in the locker room. And I don't doubt that he's probably great in the locker room.
If he's not great in the locker room, what are you doing?
Yeah. But the problem is, for me, like, I'm also great in the locker room, but that doesn't mean that I get an assistant captain on an NHL team. Like, you got to have
we've played, like, intramural hockey together. Like, yeah, you'd have a letter on there for sure.
Yeah, like, I get a letter on an intramural hockey team because that's, like, somewhat my level. But, like, Eric Branson,
that's about right.
Yeah, like, Eric Branson should definitely get an A in the AHL. Like, that's definitely makes sense to me if you toss him in there. Great guy. I'm sure of it. I'm sure he's a great guy. But, like, at the end of the day, this guy was just brutal for us. And, like,
yeah, like I get, like, the intangibles are important, but you got to play too. Like,
you got to be able to skate. You have to be able to turn and skate is the big thing. Like, you talk about how great the Panthers are, just guys that just they sign guys that are good skaters.
Yeah, like, pretty much. And then throw them in a system. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to do. And everyone can skate. It's great. And, like, Ottawa has now that we have players that are competent in our lineup, the system actually works well. And we're able to press teams and we're able to actually play with some, like, actual intent. But before, it was like, well, if Eric Goodbranson is trying to lead the breakout, like, this is not...
It's not going
to
go well.
We can have the best system in mind the entire time, but if Eric Goodbranson is flinging the pass 20 feet behind Tim Stützle the entire time, like, what do we expect is going to happen? Like, of course, and then he's too slow to turn around the other way. So, like, I don't know what we really expected, but that one, we flipped him. We got a 7th-round pick for him, so... That's fantastic. That 7th rounder will be used to help our AHL team next year. Most likely we'll draft some overager and it'll be fantastic.
Of course, of course.
And that's pretty much all I got to say on the Sens, to be honest. I enjoyed watching them the back half of the year.
Yeah. I got to say, cause like, I don't really, you know, I've no dog in the fight, but I like the Senators a lot. They're very likable as a group, right? So, you know,
it's a, like, fun team, you know,
That's the thing is, like, they're having fun. You got the young players that have some personality, like Timmy and Brady, right? Like, it's an easy team to, like, root for because, like, you know they're not good and, like, Sens fans know they're not good and you don't really care that much as long as everyone's having fun.
Literally, man.
Right? Like, they're the type of team, like, they deserve a participation trophy for this season, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm expecting a nice participation trophy from Gary Bettman to be handed out on our final game.
Yeah, it's like they're playing like U8 soccer and you give them a little trophy or a medal and it's like you showed up.
You know when your memories is like a U8. I was talking with my dad about this. I played local league hockey my whole life, you know? So like
not a big deal.
Local league, like going, I'm like 9 years old. I'm like, my old coach is a Calgary Flames fan. But Calgary did this thing, and before, like, they staggered their, like, players when they went on the ice. So, like, each person got, like, a little burst, and then a second later, next person out on the ice. Like, for the player, for, like, the when they first entered the ice for warm-ups, you know, like, little showcase thing. So he always made sure that we did that, too. So we had a lot of fun with that. We weren't very good, but we had fun doing, like, the little intro stuff. It's like, that's what sticks with you, right? So, like, for this Ottawa team, like, yeah, we're pretty bad. But, hey, they're having a good time. And those are the memories that they're going to remember when we're hoisting the cup in 2027 on our 100-year anniversary of the Stanley Cup win. That is that's what you're going to remember. It's like, remember when we sucked? When we had Eric Goodbranson in the back line? And, yeah, it's
going to be... Yeah, like, as long as you're having fun, like, when you're, like, a kid playing, like, soccer, hockey, like, you don't really care so much about winning. It's just like, are you having fun out there? Here's a trophy.
Oh, it's fantastic, you know.
Okay, last thing here on the Sens, because I know, you know, what are your thoughts on two more former Panthers that are on the team? Josh Brown, now done for the season, and Evgeny Dadonov.
Oh,
how are you liking our boys up
now,
there?
Now, okay. Josh Brown got a lot of hate. But it wasn't as much because he was bad. It was more just because he was in the way of Jacob Bernard-Docker playing. Like DJ Smith just had a big thing for like playing Josh Brown. He was actually pretty decent in a bottom two role, like played on the bottom line, played with Mete. He was okay, actually. I didn't mind having him. It was more just people just wanted Bernard Docker in there instead because it's like we want to play the young guys. So it was never like Josh Brown's fault. It was more just like I'd rather play someone that has like some long-term potential with the organization instead of a UFA that's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like the player is getting blamed, but it's not
their fault. And then he blocked a shot. He stayed in the entire third period with a broken foot. That's impressive. Like that's great. That's a great guy. And it sucks that he's out for the season. I'll wish him the best of luck because I know he's probably not back in a Sens uniform next year, but he definitely deserves an NHL contract somewhere. So that's great.
Yeah. No, that's tough playing on the broken foot.
Yeah,
Dad, like Noah's been bitching about his for the last like 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, no, Noah broke his foot. Shout out, but
He brings up every episode.
Oh yeah, but Dadnov has been overall kind of disappointing, but like you can see like the bits and pieces that are good. He fit really well in Florida. He's also going to a worse team. We do need to remember that. Like, and we've kind of played him like wherever throughout this lineup. Like he's been everywhere from lines one to three the entire year. So like. He's got potential. He does good stuff. Our power play sucked with him on it, which is weird because he was like big on the power play for Florida last year. And then we moved him off the first unit. And then our first unit's just been buzzing ever since. So I really hope that he finds his way because we paid a lot of money for him to be here. And we have a lot of big ELCs coming up that we need to find money for. So I hope he picks it up. And if he doesn't, then crap.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's like he's not like super old either. Like, there's still lots of time for him to figure it out. And I think it was always just going to be a challenge for him to live up to that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I think it's a signing where, you know, a lot of people, you know, you look at his underlying numbers and what he did on the power play, and you're like, all right, like, this is not a bad signing, right? Especially for like a young team like Ottawa. And it's probably one of the better veteran players you brought in.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he was the best veteran player that we brought in, the exception of maybe Matt Murray. That's it. That's the bar. That's the bar. It's Matt Murray or Evgeny Dadonov.
Yeah, the bar's on the floor, and somehow a lot of players didn't clear it.
Yeah, it did not clear.
But yeah, I hope for you guys, and you know, he picks it up because you know he was one of the, you know, we loved watching him last, you know, couple years here in Florida. So hopefully he picks it up. Does really well for you, and hopefully, you know, one day, you know, we see you and your Senators in a conference final here or something.
Oh, we will now. We will. Don't worry.
Coming soon. Yeah, we'll wait and see. But yeah, man, thanks for coming on the episode today. Really appreciate it. Noah just bailed, as per usual. And like usually when he bails, like I have to do this myself, and those episodes suck. It's just like me trying to debate myself, and I sound like a crazy person, like even more so than usual.
Yeah, no, now that we live in the same house, I can always just hop on, you know. We'll always have a filler for Noah.
Yeah, we'll always have a seat filler. And, you know, apologies, we ran out of time for Jared Shea again today, but we'll hopefully get him on sometime soon. but, yeah, thank you to everyone tuning in, listening. Appreciate all the support. And we are going to be back on Monday with a brand new episode. So hopefully we will see you all then. And, yeah, hope everyone has a great rest of their week. Barkov looking to get a step on